says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they will obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed, has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Whether we bless our Lord and Father, and whether we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for how you spoke through James and now speaking to us today. Lord, I pray that we just be open to ways we can grow and receive from you. God, open to ways this morning that we can reflect Christ in our words. Now, may you be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so it's pretty, if you haven't read this before, it's pretty strong. Like, if you got a letter like this in the mail, you'd be like, ouch, James, like, you need to back down, you know? It's like, this is pretty harsh, harsh wording. But he's making a really strong point that words matter, specifically as those are following Christ. Do our words reflect Christ? And let's look at a little bit more about what he shared with the early church. So he starts off talking about teachers. And as I was studying this, it says, "Now not many of you should become teachers." And the NIV uses like the phrase, "presumed to become teachers," which kind of hits on this whole pride concept, that for those who are wanting to be teachers in this context, there's a lot of Jews who are becoming Christians, so Jewish Christians, and a lot of them are wanting to be teachers, but he was given a warning, don't let pride be the reason why you want to rise to the top and start teaching, because if you start teaching, and many words are being shared, it's a lot easier to stumble. I know for me, I often think before speaking, because I speak often on the weekend here on Sundays, Lord, may your word be spoken and not mine. Even after sermons, I usually ask the Lord, God, what was from you, may that stay. What was from Jim, may that get blown away. I'll literally pray that. I'm like, Lord, just get rid of that. But Lord, what was your word, may that stay. And he's really hitting on this humble posture of not everyone just shooting up. That I just want to be a teacher, that's where I want to go. Because like when you're in that place, there's a lot of words. When you say a lot of words, there's a higher potential to say something that does not honor Jesus. I almost kind of like a waterfall effect. He makes that point in verse 2. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways." He makes it clear, like, hey, all of us are not perfect. You see that throughout the Bible, hence our need for Jesus. And then he mentions that if anyone does not stumble in what he says, get this, like, he says he's a perfect man, a perfect person, also able to bridle his whole body. So James is literally saying that if you can, like, control 100% of your speech and make it perfect all the time, you're a perfect person. But as we know, none of us are perfect with our words. Some of us might talk a lot, and that just stumbles out. Some of us might not talk as much, and maybe thinking, like, I don't really talk a lot, but we can think a lot, right? Right? Are you with me? We can think a lot of things that maybe sometimes aren't lining up with the Lordship of Jesus when it comes to our mind, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I want to look at some of his examples he gives. So he gives like a caution, a warning for those who want to just jump in a prideful way, assume to be teachers. And he mentions that we're all in the same place. And he gives a couple of examples, two of them specifically, about the impact that speaking has compared to two visual examples. So the first one is puts the bits into the mouths of horses. I don't know a lot about horses, so I reached out to Laura Zellweger. Thank you, Laura, for helping me out here. She gave me this beautiful picture, and there's a little bit of a bio right there. But yeah, if you put the bits into the mouse's horse, they'll obey you, and you can control the whole horse body as well. Just a small little bit controlled by someone who's riding that knows what they're doing can control the whole horse. And that's what James is going to. The tongue is so small, it can have really big impact. And he's not necessarily talking about negative impact. He's just talking about it can have impact. Speeches and sharing can be done in ways that really promote things that are great. I think about Peter and the book of Acts when he got to share about the gospel and 3,000 got saved. What a great impact, of sharing that his tongue was controlled for righteousness and righteousness resulted. James also gives another example. This is a little tiny boat, but of just a rudder on a boat. I don't know if you've ever been sailing before, and on little sailboats, you have to put the little rudder in. If you can't get that in, and the wind's blowing you around, I made the mistake before, putting up the sail without the rudder, that's a terrible idea. You just start spinning around, right? You can't control the boat at all. You got to put the rudder in, then you put up the sail, unless you have the power of the wind. You want to be able to control it. And it's amazing how such a small little rudder can do that. Once again, James is saying that the tongue has amazing ability for being so small, the words we share, to impact in a big way. Now the question is it going to be positive or is it going to be negative? Is it going to reflect Christ? Is it going to reflect the brokenness in our world? And James looks at that a little bit more. We're going to look at a negative connotation now. He looks at the tongue in a negative connotation, like a small little spark or a little fire that sets a whole forest fire ablaze. I shared this a couple years ago, and I was looking at it again, that in 1903, the Adirondack Forest fire started in Lake Placid, and 600,000 acres were burned, most likely because a spark came off of a locomotive from a logging train. One little spark, 600,000 acres burned. That's 9 to 10 times the size of the town of Potsdam. Burned. 1908, 400,000 more acres were burned again, just from little sparks from locomotives that were just shooting off, gets into a little tree, a little amber, just starts going, and it's just almost uncontainable. Our words can have that impact. Now, as we're thinking about this, you might be thinking, oh yeah, I've heard of words before. Maybe let's take an example for gossip. You're talking about somebody else without them knowing, right? He did this, she did that, if you knew that. Not talking to the person, but in order to make gossip spin really fast, you just need to tell a bunch of people, right? Without the person being involved, right? And gossip will just start spreading. And you can kind of get that imagery, almost like a forest fire. But what James is specifically talking about is that if we're sharing these kind of words, and that's coming from our heart, that it's actually the individual whose life is really going to be set on fire. Because as we know, if words are coming out in a way that does not reflect Christ, what follows words after time is actions, right? So I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. His dad gave him this really cool robe that was tons of colors, right? Like a rainbow robe. It's beautiful. His 10 other brothers got super jealous. So what they start doing, first jealousy hit the heart, right? I mean, Joseph could have used a lot of wisdom by talking about some of his visions, but he just kind of gave him flat out, you'll bow down to me and worship me, or at least respect me. So his brothers got super jealous. They got jealous, it starts in the heart, then you see they start talking to each other, but they didn't just stop with just talking. Then they put those heart words into actions. They literally threw the brother into a pit, and then they sold him to Egypt. You guys remember the story? Right? It all starts. So you're just thinking oh, it's just a small, it's okay, a little jealousy, it's not going to be a big deal. Oh, now we're talking about it, it's not a big deal. Now you're literally selling your brother into slavery. The beautiful thing about Joseph, though, was his response, to make a long story short, he responded with love and forgiveness. His brothers show up years later, he's second in command, his life has been a wreck, but God has been faithful, and he forgives them. I was thinking about what would it look like if Joseph had let their words and actions go right to his heart, and what it would have been like if he responded out of pain, right? So many of us can do that. Someone hurts us with their words, I'm now going to respond with pain to them. It literally could have been like a prison thing for his whole family. They show up in a famine, and he could have been like, you know what? You threw me in a pit. You sold me a slave. You left me for dead. Now you guys are going to rot in prison. But instead he says, you know what? Come on in. I forgive you. I'm going to feed the whole family. Everything's going to be okay. He did have a little couple tests along the way. But if we're not careful, those little heart thoughts, kind thoughts, those words, it'd be like gossip, slander, things that spread, eventually can consume us and then anxious will come. So James is like, watch out for that small impact that the tongue can have if it's just left go and untamed. It says, and the tongue is a fire, using this imagery again, a world of unrighteousness. And then he has a progression that he talks about. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and it's set on fire by hell. This is literally like a progression of an untamed tongue, let go, no control, just doing anything that our evil desires want or sinful that. It just gets worse and worse and worse. If you ever let bitterness stew and just kind of steep in your heart for a while, things get nasty quick. You let that go for a week, things are getting kind of weird. Let it go for a couple of months, you start looking maybe at someone you're bitter towards in a totally different way. You let it go for a year, you probably start demonizing the person. Everything they do is evil, everything they do is demonic, everything, you know, bitterness just starts taking over and it consumes the person. That's why it's so good to forgive like Jesus has done for us on the cross. If we remember, and it's really confusing drawing, but we remember what Jesus has done on the cross for us, that he forgave a rebellious world, forgave us, we have the freedom then to forgive others. Amen?
Right.
We have the freedom to forgive others. Don't hold on to the pains of words, because honestly, we'll just start spewing that all over the place. Let's go on a little bit more, verse 7. He talks about an untamed tongue, and he's talking about things that are tame, but still the tongue is not one of them. It says, for every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed as been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. And then once again, strong wording, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So then you might be wondering, if you're reading this, then like, why even try, right? If it's that dangerous and that untamable, let it, you know, wreak havoc, right? It's just like, don't even try. And as I was studying, I love one imagery that one of the commentators was giving, of someone spewing like fires and starting forest fires everywhere, and then another person trying to contain a fire. It's like, it's far better to put your energy into containing something that could be dangerous than just letting it go wild. Fire there, fire there, fire there, fire there. We need to really check our words. Do they honor Christ? Is what I'm saying, and the way I'm saying it, and the time I'm saying, reflecting what Jesus would say in this situation? Or is it just reflecting a brokenness in me, a hurt in me? Our words are very helpful to help us understand what's going on inside the heart.
Yeah.
James talks about, then, the consistency in our speech. There needs to be a need, and he gives this inconsistent pattern. And here's kind of a big crux of all this, which is pretty humbling when you think about it. With it, we bless the Lord and Father with our mouth, and with our tongue and our mouth, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God, right? So imagine this, going to church on a Sunday, praising the Lord, awesome type of worship, just like we had this morning, praise God. And then right afterwards, our Monday hits, and then our words are totally different. Someone cuts us off while driving, so we have a different set of words for them, right? It's not praise the Lord, it might be something else, right? You know, things were difficult with the family, it's like, all right, I'm going to let them have it, right? With my words, I'm going to let them know who's boss. That kind of inconsistency, James, like, that shouldn't be there. There should be a consistency. We praise God and care for him and love him, but also we speak the love and truth to people around us. Jesus came full of grace and truth, and if we're following after Christ, and that's your heartbeat, which I hope it is, our words need to be full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. Loving God and hating people is still hating God. Right? Loving God and hating people is still hating God. Verbally abusing someone is still hating God. You think, oh, I love God, he's great, he loves me, he's not going to care that I'm verbally abusing my family or friends or saying words of insult or anger or bitterness or slander. Yeah, he does care. that's why he died on the cross for us. That's why he's saying we need a new life. He calls that sin, and he died for sinners like you and for me. We need to take our words very, very carefully. We need to choose them very, very carefully. James goes on and explains how there shouldn't be these inconsistencies of a spring and having two different water sources or trees that are an origin of one and then producing something else. He's like, that's totally inconsistent to the source of the spring, the source of the tree. If we have been made new in Christ, then we have a new nature, we have a new name, we are now adopted into God's family, we approach life as children of Jesus, and the old things, it's a process, right? The old things, we need to just keep letting Jesus have. Bring it to the cross. Lord, if my mouth is going crazy, God, I need your help. It's interesting to see how the examples that were given before that James given about the bit in the horse's rider, in the horse's rider, that's weird. Yeah, don't put it in the rider, put it in the horse's mouth. The bit or the rudder. Those things are just controlling, but what really matters is the person who's controlling the bit and the person that's controlling the rider. We often can think of ourselves in that way. If we truly want to have victory over our mouth, we actually have to give up control and ask God to be in control of what we say. Let Him grab the reins, so to speak, of our mouth and our heart. Let Him take the rudder of our heart and our life. Let Him be in control. One of the byproducts of knowing Christ is that God's Spirit's in you. And one of the fruit of the Spirit, the last one mentioned in Galatians 5, is self-control. It almost seems like a paradox, but in order to have a life that looks like Jesus, we don't actually have to muscle our way into that. We actually need to give up more control and let Jesus work inside of us to look like Him. Does that make sense? Yeah. You with me? Right? So literally, it's a recognition, and James is making the point. This is why the point's so important. You'll never be able to tame the tongue yourself. So then you have to think of what's someone greater than could, and that someone greater is Jesus, and He is, and He does. We invite the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to give You full control of my life, not just in deeds I'll do, helping the poor out once in a while, helping out a family member here and there, but literally, like, I think Jamie Roscoe said, everything we should do should be an act of worship. Everything we say should reflect Christ. On Tuesday mornings, we have our office hours here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and our new secretary, Jody Davey, I don't think she's here today, but she's just doing an amazing job. Super hard worker, high work ethic, fast learner, great attitude. Super thankful for her. But on Tuesdays, we'll pray together for the week. And one of the prayers that we'll often pray is, God, may the words we say to people that walk in the door, that we talk to on the phone, and that we email or post on social media, may they reflect Jesus. Right? May they reflect Jesus. All of them. The ones we say, person walking in the door. The ones with, like, a surprise phone call. Maybe someone's excited. Maybe someone's really upset. May we reflect Jesus. The things we email, post on social media, tweet, whatever. God, may these words reflect Jesus. And we ask for that. We pray for it actually weekly. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, that's probably just a good prayer for any of us daily, right? Lord, may all my words and every sphere of influence I have reflect Jesus. If they're not reflecting Jesus, then I just need to stop saying things. Right? I need to stop posting things. I need to stop writing things. I need to stop recording things. I need to be quiet. Because honestly, there's some heart surgery, spiritually speaking, that Jesus needs to work on. Are your words, my words, our words reflecting Christ? I mentioned some things before. It's so easy to get lost in gossiping, just talking about people. That's a sin. Jesus died for it. Don't dabble in it. Just give it to the Lord. A great way to stop gossiping is someone's coming to you and gossiping. One of the best phrases someone taught me is they're like, hey, so-and-so did this, blah, 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 blah. And one of my favorite responses someone taught me to say was like, what did the person say when you told them that? And it always just stops it dead. I never told them that. I told like a couple hundred people on Facebook. I told you. I told like 20 other people in the whole community. I haven't told them though. Hope they'll find out, you know? It's one of my favorite phrases. Help me. Because sometimes it's easy to dabble. So I was like, what did it sound like when you told them? Like, you've seen them so much care and passion for talking about them. They must have been so blessed when you brought up this problem to them. Like, oh no. I didn't mention that at all, actually. Hope they read about it in the newspaper or somebody else will talk, right? Stop. It's gossiping. It's a sin. Should not be part of a Christian's vocabulary. Putting down others with their words, maybe it's out of hurt or insecurity or pride or whatever, but for putting people down, realize it's a sin, ask for forgiveness. If we're bragging, talking highly of ourselves, realizing that our main point should be bragging on Jesus, not on us, realize, Lord, humble me, forgive me. If we're manipulating situations with our words, we're speaking in crafty languages, that's kind of like you're saying one thing but another thing. You have an undercurrent motive. A lot of times if someone's manipulating, you look back on it like, they manipulated me, but they're too clever in the moment to figure that out. Realizing that should not be part of a Christian's vocabulary. In the Bible, you see those who are teaching false doctrines. That should not be part of the vocabulary. Exaggerating the truth. It's kind of like the truth, but it's a little bit more exaggerating, or it's kind of not like a lie, but similar. We don't need to dance near sin. We need to pursue Jesus and flee from it. Complaining, or flattering, or lying, these are just a few of the things that are mentioned. When it comes to the tongue, it's very humbling because I think, if you're to be honest, all of us struggle in different ways. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time as I'm wrapping up. Here's a fun picture. So imagine this. Imagine if Jesus was living your life and interacting with the people you interact with. Maybe it's your friends, your family, your spouse, your kids, your parents, whatever, your coworkers. Imagine if Jesus was living your life in the same situation you're in now, whether it's really, really easy and fun, or you feel like you're going through the valley, the shadow of death, wherever you are. Just think ahead, like even today or Monday, the interactions you'll know you have. How would Jesus talk to your family members? How would Jesus talk to your spouse? How would Jesus talk to your kids, your coworkers, your lab mates, your friends, people you meet, maybe in the store? How would Jesus talk? Would he be using the same wording you're using? Would he be saying a whole lot less? Maybe he'd be saying more. Would he wait for a different time to say something that you want to bring up? Would he say it with a different tone? If we're pursuing Christ and want Christ to be Lord of our life and want our words to reflect that, we have to consider daily, God, are my words lining up with yours? If they're not, forgive me, God. I want my life, all of it, to be an act of worship with Jesus. Amen? So myself included, both hands up, Lord, I need you. I need you when it comes to words. I want to close in a prayer, and then we'll have a closing song before the benediction. If you like prayer for any ways, I encourage you to come up for prayer. We'd love to pray for you. But let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you died for us, a world that rebelled against you and went its own way, and yet you still loved us. Lord, help us to love others with that kind of love, with our words. And Lord, I just pray for us right now. I think all of us fall in this category of words that we've used have not glorified you. God, Lord, I know I ask for forgiveness in my life. Lord, if you're here and you're realizing that you said words that do not honor God, ask for forgiveness. He died for those sins. But Lord, I do pray that you would equip us to be hope bringers when it comes to the words we speak. That we could elevate, we could lift, we could care for, we could mend with the words that we share. Lord, may we be known as people who bring life and bring hope to every person we encounter every single day. Lord, we can only do this with your grace and through your Spirit. Lord, we know it's possible with you. I thank you that you're with us every step of the way. May you be glorified in our words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.